Hi, welcome to Panjol's third podcast, part of Panjol's And Original Content series. And Another Thing is a half-hour podcast where our people and experts in rail infrastructure connect to discuss some of the industry's biggest issues, trends and developments. Join us each month for a new episode featuring insightful and illuminating chat and debate and the latest news and views about the topics that matter to you. This month, we're exploring the subject of different challenges aluminothermic welders face in different parts of the world. We are in conversation with five aluminothermic welding experts from across Panjol, an informal discussion focusing on some of the environmental, technical and ergonomic challenges faced by the welding community. So let's welcome our team from around the world.
Hello everyone, so I am Thibaut Descamps, the head of aluminothermic product line, and I'm based in France.
Hi everyone, I'm Chris McEwen. I'm head of operations for the UK, Ireland and Scandinavian markets, calling today from sunny UK.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Hall. I'm a product line manager for Asia Pacific and I'm dialing in from sunny Sydney.
Hi, I'm Frédéric Delcroix, Global Technical Support Director for our welding product line in France.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dave Maniloff, Manager of Welding in North America, and I'm based in the United States.
So then, in your experience, what do you see as the main challenges for rail welding across various railways around the world?
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. It's Tim. I might take that one from here and pass it over to our colleagues for some of their experience. I know definitely in Australia and Asia that one of the things we see most commonly is the restricted time that the welding teams have on track. This means that the railway has the maximum availability, but also means that there's less time for the workers to complete their tasks. That's one of the massive challenges that we see across the industry. Chris, are you seeing something similar in the UK and Europe?
Absolutely. Within Europe and UK, there's such a drive for quality products that are user-friendly and cost-effective. We collectively have the busiest networks in the world, so availability of track is absolutely key. Dave, how do you find it over in North America?
I agree. It's track time and also big weather concerns in North America where you just can't get out, can't do work, and again, quality of people are very hard to get good qualified people to get out on the track and work.
So on the subject of less time on track, I know that Europe and UK are extremely short on time to actually get on track to fix vital components, to fix rails, sleepers, etc. And obviously seeing a huge importance across heavy haul as well, so for the North American markets and, you know, other markets in APAC. I just know that, as I say, the European market, UK market is extremely under high pressure to be on off track as quickly as possible. So guys, you know, what do you feel about, you know, less time on track?
I think the less time on track that we see available to the welders and to the whole track team is something that, you know, makes a good quality product harder to deliver for those track teams. And as a supplier, we need to be able to support them in providing innovative products and processes that will allow them on track for shorter amounts of time, but still deliver the highest quality work that they can for the asset owners. Something that we see here in Asia, in the metropolitan markets, as you said, but also in the iron ore and coal networks throughout Australia, where obviously every minute means money and track workers need to be in and out as quickly as possible.
Yes, Chris, I agree with you that less time on track to get components repaired, it's imperative to moving freight and people safely. But this also ties into our skilled workers. The more skilled workers you have, the quicker they can get the work done. Also ties into innovations that Panjol are making, especially for in the welding portion here, where we're trying to make a quicker, safer welding product to get our guys in and off the tracks in a safe, timely manner.
I think it's good, Dave, that you actually mentioned skilled workers. We all know that aluminothermic welding is a highly skilled trade. but it comes with the most challenging conditions. Fatigue, you know, is such a huge factor. What do you experience in your markets?
I definitely see that there's a lot more mobility of the workers as well. So coming by skilled workers becomes a challenge. There's been a real renaissance in the number of projects around the region. One of the other things that we also see is obviously that, like most global markets, there's an aging population, and passing good welding practices and good education to the next generation is becoming more and more from those people that have been involved in our industry for a very long time, and some great experiences that they can share with the next generation.
Yes, in North America, we have the same issue with aging workforce experience, and the ability to get young people involved in labor is extremely hard. We suffer in all facets of life here in North America, not just the railroads, but it's all industries where it's hands-on work. Again, and like Tim had said earlier, the aging population, we're losing a lot of knowledge that will have to either just be relearned by people or taught if they want to get back into the field through technical schools. A lot of railroads in North America have their own schooling now just to teach someone literally how to drive a spike into the ground, because a lot of people don't have that hands-on farm work anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Dave. And one of the things that we've been working on, obviously, with our technical team in our French headquarters is how do we make more automation and an easier way to control the weld process. I think Thibaut could probably add something here about our new products that we've developed over the last few years, particularly the high flow preheater, and perhaps even our most newest innovation, which would be the auto seal molds.
Yes, for sure, Tim. As you said, we have developed a new system, high flow preheater, which can replace the majority of the preheating equipment. You know, it's very simple. It's only using propane. We know also that it's more and more difficult to find oxygen. It's expensive and heavy when you will need to bring the bottle on track. So the HAP has been automated for easier and more reliable operation. No need to adjust the pressure for oxygen and propane. Very easy to use with a timer on the system, which is automatic and which ensures to have the right preheating time. We also have a smooth preheating, and it provides a uniform preheat between the head and the foot of the rail. You know, with this system, you can save money by removing oxygen and you improve the quality of the preheating. So at the end, I will say the quality of the weld, because as we all know, preheating is a key point in the welding operation. We also developed a new version for the molds with auto seal molds. And I think Chris can talk a little bit more about that one.
I could probably talk all day about auto seal molds, Thibaut. Wow, what a fantastic, innovative product this is. I've been involved with this project literally from the get-go, and it's good to see the product starting to move. It's good to see the end users enjoying welding again. We have some of the welders come up to us and they're literally shaking our hands and saying, this is amazing. So, you know, thank you very much. It's brilliant. The benefits that the guys are getting are, you know, it's ergonomic for them. It's easy. They don't have to spend as long on the knees. So it's good for the back. It's good for the knees. And where the welders aren't on the floor as much, it's also good for the morale because they feel better. It's easier for them. And so not only is it only easier for the end user, but it's actually quicker. So the track maintenance people save time on track. Again, we've already covered that earlier. You know, time is absolutely critical. And with the ergonomic appeal, with the speed improvement, we're seeing less defects. And it also has an environmental impact as well, because there is not as much waste. So it ticks a lot of boxes just by one improvement. And we're really starting to see the results coming through now. So it's a fantastic product.
So what exactly is this AutoSeal product, Chris?
The AutoSeal product is a new innovative design from Panduril. The AutoSeal itself replaces the need for the manual looting operation. So where sand or paste is commonly used in the industry today and has been for many years, we're taking that operation out of the equation and replacing it with AutoSeal. So all the end users need to do is fit the molds to the rail, and we've got a specially designed self-expanding strip, which when you preheat the rail using standard preheating methods, the strip expands, sealing any of the joints around the weld, hence AutoSeal.
Thanks, Chris. What other key challenges are we facing?
Yeah, Jamie, I think one thing that we definitely see, and more so in the North American and Australian market, but is the demand of higher axle loads on the trains on the network often leads to, you know, increased rail wear and more stress on the rails. Dave, I'm sure that's something that you guys would see in North America as well. Would that be right?
You are correct. We heavy haul is home. In North America, most product is moved. Where I live, we're heavy taconite iron ore. That has to move from the middle of the United States to each coast to be shipped all over the world. And what this creates for North America, it wears on the track and it wears out the ball of the track. And pretty soon it's worn. And now we have to go out and weld it with our products. And like we talked earlier, a more forgiving, better product will last longer in the track. Each train, we're talking a weight of like 385,000 tons per train, and you're probably running every 15 minutes over the heavy haul lines in North America.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the same experience we have in Australia, particularly now at the moment, while the price of resources like iron ore and coal are so high, the networks want to make sure that they can get the maximum value out of their track to get the best price for their goods to market. One thing that we have started to look at, particularly in this market, is how we can extend the life of the weld, or at least give it the best opportunity to perform to its optimum performance. One of those things that we're looking at has been peening, which is using an air-driven hammer to relieve the residual stress in the collar of the weld. So with the help of the research and development team in France, we've actually been able to peen welds and put them in a lab environment where they pass over 9 million cycles in the standard cyclical loading test, which, you know, compared to the standard is three times the current rate that's required to meet the norm.
Coming back to the Europe and UK market, we don't generally see really high axle loads like you guys do, but we do, however, suffer from gross tonnage. You've got a very, you know, high frequency in traffic and at very high speeds as well. So, you know, we have our own complications in that we don't necessarily suffer from high axle loads, but gross tonnage, frequency, absolutely.
When you're moving passengers, how often does that rail wear out based on the frequency? Because the heavy tonnage is what's really hard on like our railroads, because I have some commuter rail, I have light rail that we do business with, but it seems like that stuff lasts forever compared to the heavy haul, which lasts about 10 years on a big line. I'm just wondering on the frequency, because I don't deal with this as much as probably you do, what kind of stresses does that create for you?
Some of the problems that we face are not necessarily heavy worn rails, but we suffer from a lot of cracking, especially on curves where we have high speed trains and they're going around these curves generating a lot of friction on the rails, which in turn causes micro cracking on the head of the rail. It's very hard to say how long a rail would last. It really is one of these, how long is a piece of string? Rails certainly don't normally last longer than 10 years on a high speed line, that's for sure.
Chris, I just have a question for you. When you're talking high speed, what speeds are we talking? Because heavy tonnage in North America, speeds run about 70 miles an hour. That's maximum speed. So when you talk high speed, what are you talking?
Talking from the UK, we have one of the oldest networks in the world. So we actually have a lot of curves in the track and one of the busiest networks in the world. And so our intercity lines generally run at a maximum speed of 125 miles an hour. That's maximum speed for a main line. We do have HS1 in the UK, and that has a maximum speed of 150 miles an hour, but that track is much straighter. With the intercity lines that are running at 125, we do suffer from, you know, fatigue on those lines, but generally because the trains are running around curves a lot of the time. So the network itself is, by default, it's high maintenance. Frederick, how about line speeds over in France?
Yeah, for France, for the high speed line we have, with the speed is around 320 kilometers per hour. So mainly 200 miles per hour. So we have a very high tolerance for the speed with a very strict standard for that.
Yeah, Frederick, we have very high standards over in the UK as well. For instance, grinding tolerance on a high speed line like that, you're allowed zero dip over a 1 meter straight edge with a maximum of a 0.5 peak again across 1 meter. So grinding tolerances are very strict in the UK.
Thanks for listening to part one of this Welding podcast. Stay tuned for part two, where we take a closer look at challenges faced in South America and Europe, as well as discussing customer satisfaction and Pandrel Connect. Bye for now.